Morning, Solid Rock.
Morning.
Okay, so we are doing a series called It's Greek to Me. So when I was growing up, It's Greek to Me meant I have no idea what you're talking about. So I don't even know if that's still a thing to say, It's Greek to Me. And so the reason we're doing that is because, you know, when Jesus, of course, Jesus Jewish, and the first believers in Jesus were Jewish. But the first place where Christianity, where the belief in Jesus went to people who weren't Jewish was Greece. So do we have anybody here who's Greek background? Nobody. All right. Well, that's all right. We're grateful to the Greeks. So and the topic today is called Corinthian Resurrection. So why do you suppose that resurrection in this part of the Bible where the Apostle Paul is talking to Greek Christians? Why do you suppose resurrection was such a big topic in that letter? Anybody? Okay. That's kind of where I'm going. So in those days, people kind of believed in, like, you die and you turn into, like, a ghost or something. You know? Remember Casper the Friendly Ghost? Yeah, I do. I remember that. And so, but when Jesus came back from the grave, he came and he said, you know, touch my hand, touch me. It was a supernatural thing. Now, guys, we don't know how this is going to happen, but it's like those of us who are following Jesus, we've been promised that. It's almost like, you know what a species is, right? Species. Now, this isn't what the way the Bible puts it, so this is how I'm putting it. It's almost like there's coming a day when God will create a different species of human being, one that can walk through walls and go from this dimension into the next dimension and yet be solid, like touch my hands and, you know, and live forever. Imagine that. Okay, stand up, Norris. Yeah, go ahead, stand up. So suppose, just imagine Norris, okay, coming back as young Norris. Not, you know, just young Norris, okay, with no glasses, right? Young Norris, no glasses. And how he got here to say hi was he walked through that wall. Huh? Isn't that something? And it's like, okay, you can sit down. Thanks, Norris. Let's give Norris a hand. Now, about 7 years ago, I was doing videos for BiblePop.com, which was this online ministry that, by the grace of God, I was doing. I worked really, really hard on doing a 6-minute video that would explain the whole thing about resurrection. And I just, you know, it was the best I could do to make it simple. So I want us to watch that right now because it's going to help us to understand where I'm going with this. And by the grace of God, I mean, this video has been seen like internationally, so you know, thank you, Lord, for that. But let's get, can you run that? Thanks.
Do you have a favorite food? My favorite food is spaghetti. I love spaghetti. When I was growing up, on my father's side of the family, my grandmother and grandfather would always invite us over on Sunday for spaghetti dinner. Now, they're from Italy, so everything was done in an extravagant way, old country style, homemade tomato sauce, very special cheese, pecorino cheese. It was wonderful. But something would always happen that interested me. You see, when the spaghetti was just about to be ready in this big pot, and the spaghetti was kind of boiling in the pot, my grandmother would take a fork, take out a little bit of spaghetti, and twirl it around in that fork, and then offer it to my grandfather. And he would come over, and he would take that spaghetti, and he would say, "Yes, it's ready now." And when that spaghetti was ready, we were all happy because that first forkful of spaghetti was the promise of a wonderful meal. It was a promise of all the other spaghetti yet to come. We would have a wonderful meal around a big table, the whole family, every single Sunday, even on Easter Sunday. When Jesus Christ was with his disciples, he was very clear. He sat them down and he said, "Listen, this is what's going to happen. I am going to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. I will be cruelly treated, arrested, cruelly treated, and I will die. But on the third day, I will rise again. Now at the time, his disciples didn't understand, but that's exactly what happened. The people in that time, both the religious leaders and the political leaders, were jealous of him and were afraid that they would lose power because of Jesus. And so he was arrested. He was brought through the mockery of a trial, and he was treated very badly and whipped and put a crown of thorns on his head, and it was terrible. And he was brought to a hill called Golgotha, and he was crucified. He was put to die on the cross, and he did die on the cross. But you see, this happened because God had planned it that way. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And you know what happened? Just like he said, he was put in a tomb that was big so you could walk into it, and a stone was rolled in front of it. And he was there, and on the third day he rose again. Some of the women who were faithful followers of Jesus had come to further prepare the body, the dead body, which was the Jewish tradition. And an angel met them and said, I know you're looking for Jesus who was dead, but he's not dead anymore. He has risen. He's come back to life. And you can go and see him in Galilee. And so they were all excited. And sure enough, Jesus did appear to his disciples. Now, what's important to understand is that when Jesus rose from the grave, that day we have called Easter Sunday. That's what we call that day now. But in those days, there was a holiday called First Fruits. Jesus came back to life after death on the holiday of First Fruits. Why is that important? Well, the idea of that holiday was that God had told the people of Israel that the very first thing that you're able to harvest from the field, now, even though it's not apples and oranges and peaches and fruits, they would call that the first fruits. It was actually barley. And God said, now, on that holiday, you take that first fruits, the first batch of the harvest, and offer it up to God as thanksgiving in advance for the great harvest yet to come of all the other food that you'll get. First fruits, that was the holiday of first fruits. Jesus came back to life on the holiday of first fruits, which means that he was the first in line. That if we look at the kind of body that Jesus had when he rose from the grave, that's the kind of body we'll have. Just like the first forkful of spaghetti. And it's exciting. Why? Because what kind of body did Jesus come back in? Well, it was a supernatural body that only God knows how he'll cause this to happen. Jesus was able, after he'd risen from the grave, to come through and meet his disciples and walk through doors even though they were closed. And yet he would hold out his hands and said, here, touch me and see that I'm real. And that's the kind of body we're going to have. Don't ask me how that's going to happen. God knows how he will create that kind of body. He also said, do you have something to eat? And they were all astonished, and they gave him something and he ate right in front of them. That's the kind of body we're going to have. And I'm excited about that because who knows, maybe in heaven I'll get to have more spaghetti. Well, we'll see. But anyway, the point is this. We need to be excited because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep means those who are his followers who have already died. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those who sleep. He rose from the grave on Easter Sunday, and he fulfilled, he made into reality the first fruits of God's plan for humanity to create us into something wonderful, something fantastic that we can hardly imagine. That's very important, because think about it. If God hadn't done that, life would be kind of sad, wouldn't it? It would mean that we just live and we have problems and we die. Now, some people say, well, yeah, but then you become a spirit and so on. See, in those days, people did around the world believe that, yeah, you continue to live in some kind of shadow reality as some kind of wispy thing. But no, God did something way better than that. Here's the idea. When we die, the invisible part of us goes to be with Jesus. But on the day of resurrection, he will give us a new resurrection body. And when that happens, the Bible said, death will be truly conquered. And the old saying will come true, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? That the victory of the enemy of death had been the fact that we all die because of our sins. But the victory of conquering death came because of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life in a brand new supernatural body. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I hope so, because in that day in heaven, I will see you there, I will shake your hand, and maybe we can have spaghetti together.
Special thanks to Jim Ackert, who was my partner in making that video. He lives in Florida to this day. I'm so grateful for his help with that. Okay, so we're doing a study in the book of 1 Corinthians, and let me just take a minute here to explain this. So Jesus had 12 disciples, and when he gave the assignment to them to preach the good news about Jesus around the world, the one who hated them the most and was killing Christians was a guy named Paul. And so Jesus came to Paul and appeared to Paul, and Paul became a believer, and Jesus gave him the special assignment to go and tell the good news to people who are not Jewish, to Gentiles. So all of us need to be grateful about that. I know Susan's Jewish, but all the rest of us might not have heard if not for Paul. So Paul would go around to Greece, and he would go to houses and plant what's called house churches. Christians would organize in those homes, and there would be a network connecting them. So then he'd go to another place. Well, when they would start having problems and discussions and maybe quarrels, they would send him a letter saying, "Can you please help us? Can you tell us like the truth about this and such?" And so he wrote a letter to the church of Corinth. Corinth is a Greek city. And one of the big questions they said is what about this whole resurrection stuff? What about this? So that's what we're going to talk about. So we're going to read what Paul told the Christians in Corinth. And the reason why this is in the Bible, you see, when Jesus came to the one who was the killer of Christians, Paul, and anointed him with the Holy Spirit, Paul became like a prophet of God. He became like Isaiah. He became anointed so that when he would speak and write things down, God would say, okay, this is like a contract for you. The reason why the Bible is spoken of as the Word of God is because Jesus said, now this Bible for you is like a contract. You can stand on this Word. Okay, so we can stand on what we're going to hear today. Okay. Now, this is what this is what Paul says, the Apostle Paul, to the Christians. She doesn't have to leave, but okay. I don't care. Babies, I love babies. Had four of them. No, you don't have to leave. We're cool. We're cool. Babies are cool. So this is Paul speaking. He says, now someone may say, well, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body will they come back with? And then he's explaining. He said, now not all flesh is the same. There's one kind of flesh for human beings, another for animals, another for birds or fish. There are also heavenly and earthly bodies. So remember in the very beginning of the Bible when it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? That means he created a dimension that we can see and a dimension that we can't see. So Paul's saying, you know what? There's heavenly bodies and there's earthly bodies. He says the glory of the heaven, the glory of the heavenly is one kind and the glory of the earthly is another, meaning there's special things about bodies on this side and there's special things about bodies on the other side. So also it is with the resurrection of the dead. It is sown able to decay, but it is raised not able to decay. So he's using the seed, right? So if you have a seed in your hand, it looks a certain way, right? And it feels a certain way. But you notice that when you put it in the ground, it disappears kind of, but not really. So what it was ceases to exist, and it becomes like something else. And so that's what he's saying. He said, It is sown humble, but is raised glorious. It is sown weak, it is raised powerful. It is sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. Just as it's written, Adam became a living soul. So in the Bible, when God created Adam and Eve, it says that by his spirit he breathed upon them and they became a living soul. He says, so the spiritual was not the first thing, but the natural was first. So first there was human, earthly humans, and then the second man was heavenly. As we have borne the likeness of the earthly, so we shall bear the likeness of the heavenly. So flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor can that which decays inherit that which cannot decay. Behold, I tell you a mystery. So now here's I need 7 volunteers. I know there's like 7 volunteers. There's 1, 2, 3. Can I have the 3 of you? Stand over here. Over here, Jeremy over here. Another Jeremy and 3 on this side. Okay. So this is what it's saying, right? He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. So what do you think last trumpet means? Is that Louis Armstrong's playing on the trumpet when the saints go marching in? It's the last trumpet. Okay. No, the trumpet was a ram's horn. It was a ram's horn. Okay. And so God had told Moses, I want Israel to have 7 holidays, and you all represent the 7 holidays. So there's 4 holidays in the beginning of the year and 3 holidays at the end, and in the middle is the harvest. So when Paul says the last trumpet, what do you think he's thinking about? Well, I'm about to tell you. Okay. So over here, God said the first holiday is going to be the Passover. So Jesus died on the Passover. Second holiday is the feast of unleavened bread. So Jesus put in, because in those days they had to take the leaven out, which stood for sin. Jesus took away our sins. Then the first fruits. Remember I talked about it on the video? Then Pentecost. But over here is something called a Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets. And here's what it was like. So during that day, they would play a series of 3s of trumpets. And then they had something called the last trumpet. So the idea was is that the harvest is done, because this is all the harvest, which stands for when the good news about Jesus goes out into all the world. But then at the end of that time, which I believe we're living in, it's going to be something called the Feast of Trumpets, the last trumpet. What that means is, now this, I don't know if you've heard this before, maybe not. If it goes the way this went, those of us who have the Spirit of God inside of us, one of these days, you're going to say, did you hear that? Some will and some won't. And it'll be a series of 3, and then it'll stop. And then a little later, a series of 3 more, and it'll stop. And I believe you'll know in your heart, okay, this might be the day. And so I think you're going to know to stay out of harm's way. You're not going to be wanting to drive a car anymore. You're not going to be wanting to pilot a plane, and you'll have a whole day to deal with it. This is what I believe. But then eventually, at the end of that day, because this is how the holiday went, there's one loud blast on the trumpet. It's called the last trumpet. Okay? And here's what it says. In the blink of an eye at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For that which is corruptible cannot clothe itself in incorruptibility. That which is mortal cannot clothe itself with immortality. When this body which is mortal clothes itself with immortality, then the word that is written shall finally come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sin? Okay, you all can sit down. Thank you. So what does that mean? So you all have I'll just use this analogy again. You have a laptop computer, right? Remember the analogy I use? You have an icon on your screen. It's a Word document. And so in your hand you have, let's say, a booklet, but it's a Word document. your booklet gets frayed and it gets decayed, and it you have to throw it away. But the document on your screen, Jesus hits send, and it goes to the cloud. So when you die, the invisible part of you goes to be with Jesus. But then what's going to happen at this point? What's going to happen at Mary Ellen's day? Jesus is going to look in his laptop, heavenly laptop computer, and he's going to see you there, right? And he's going to hit print. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to that document? Still you. The earth is the printer. The earth, you're in heaven, but the earth is the printer. That's what it says. That you will come back, that document, but this time you'll come back in a better bound book, gold bond lettering. You'll come back supernatural, like Norris coming through the wall. That's what the Bible's saying. But what about those that are alive? What about if you haven't died when that happens? What about if it's next week, next year? What's going to happen? Paul said, I tell you a mystery. Guess what will happen to you? You're gone. I suppose your clothes will fall to the floor, your false teeth, whatever. I guess. I don't know. That's what he's saying. He said, I tell you a mystery. And the reason it's a mystery is because we can't understand how that's going to happen. Can you? I can't. But that's going to happen. And then everybody will be with Jesus. And then what will happen is that the last 7 years that the Bible predicts will take place. And then Jesus will return to the Mount of Olives outside the city of Jerusalem. And he will rule the world with the Jewish people there in Israel. The Jewish people have been promised for thousands of years, that they, the Jewish people, would rule the world with Messiah as their king. And that is going to happen. But first, guys who aren't Jewish like you and I had to be brought into the kingdom. That's kind of the idea. And so he's telling you how it's going to happen. Okay? So let's talk about the scene that happened when Jesus came back and met his disciples. Okay? So this is a picture of how shocked they must have been. But let's read from Luke. While his disciples were speaking these things, Jesus himself suddenly appeared and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you." But they were startled and frightened, for they thought they were seeing a spirit. But Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? See my hands and my feet, that it's me myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still couldn't believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said, "Do you have something to eat?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. Then Jesus said, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." In other words, Jesus is saying, look, what it says in the Bible about me and about what's going to happen, it's really true. And if he hadn't come back in a solid form, then you couldn't say that death was defeated. Why? Why could you not say death was defeated? Because anything less than coming back solid in this world is inferior. Is inferior to victory. You know, if I continue on as some kind of spirit, that's inferior. And so Jesus Christ is the first fruits. He's coming back, and so are we. Now you might say, well, gosh, you know, that's, when did you believe that? Well, I'll show you a picture. Okay, that's me. Okay, and some of you know this story. So I was a rock musician. I was writing a rock opera about the son of Satan, and I was being offered a lot of money by a producer in New York as soon as I'm finished with it. So I'm halfway through, and you know, I started having dreams about a book opening, and first not understanding it, and then understanding it, and then wanting to tell other people. And I had this like dream, this recurring dream every couple of months for over a year. And then eventually a friend of mine said, well, you know, I heard that when you know what it means, it'll stop. So he said, I think it's the Bible. And so we both had a good laugh because I was not living at all like the Bible at all. I was doing things I'm not proud of, frankly. I'm ashamed of. But, you know, Jesus loved me. He looked through space and time and he loved me. And he showed me something in the Bible. Because I had a lot of Jewish friends, you know, in the New York area. And I love, to this day, I love the Jewish people. I'm not just saying that because you're in the audience, Susan. I'm not, that's not true. But this is what Jesus said. Jesus, he came, he wept over the Jewish people who had rejected him. He was grateful for the ones that believed in him. But he wept and he said, look, this is, because they were saying, well, wait a minute, I thought if you're the Messiah, I thought we're supposed to get to rule the world. And he said, well, you know, there's going to be a delay. This is what Jesus said. There will be great distress upon this land first, wrath upon this people. Now, again, he's weeping for them. And they, the Jewish people, he's Jewish, will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all nations. And they're going to be persecuted. So he predicted what happened, which is that everybody tried to kill Jewish people. It's not because God hated Jewish people. It's because he was going out to the Gentiles. And it says, in Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, will be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles, which means it won't be Jewish, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So right after Jesus died in 70 AD, the Romans came, killed many Jewish people, scattered them throughout the world, and leveled Jerusalem. And then from that day, 70 AD, until 1967, it wasn't Jewish. But then Jesus said, there would come a day when it was. So I was alive. I was there when they had the Six-Day War and the people of Israel took back the city of Jerusalem. And it's like it blew me away. It means that what Jesus said literally came true during my lifetime. I saw it after 2,000 years. And I thought, okay. See, I had gone to the State University of New York at New Paltz. And when I went to college, people like y'all were the enemy. You know, people like me. Because Christianity is holding back the rest of the world from real progress, okay? Y'all are messed up. But when I saw that, I said, wait a minute. If God is controlling history, only God can do that. That means it's all true. And what does that make me? You know what happened to me? So I said, you know, so I'm there next to the Christmas tree in my father and mother's house. I said, okay, you know what? I guess I believe this. So I started having, I don't want to scare anybody. So I'd be laying in bed, and this thing would come on me, this spirit, start choking me. And I could hear the bed springs under me creaking as the pressure would go stronger and stronger and stronger. And I thought, I'm going to die. And then I'd remember, okay, Jesus said he's the Son of God, and he gives authority. So I'd begin speaking the name of Jesus, just his name. And it, just like air being let out of a balloon, this thing would go and come off of me. And so I'm breathing heavy and I'm breathing heavy. I'm sweating and I'm thinking, whoa. And I was writing a rock opera about the son of Satan. I was encouraging people to get in. Why do you think that happened to me? Why do you think, Jeremy? Because I had given the right to Satan to have me. And I didn't even know it. I was so stupid. I thought I was doing something innocent. And so now Satan's seeing, okay, I'm going to lose him. I'm going to kill him. If he's not going to do what I want him to do and cause all these other young people to get whacked out in their thinking, I'm going to kill him. But I remember what Jesus said. Do you know that happened to me 7-8 times? So I'd go to bed, that would happen, and then a couple nights would pass, and it would happen again. And so I'd be laying there, and I'd be afraid. I couldn't go to sleep because now I'm afraid, right? And this thing would come on me and start squeezing my neck, and I couldn't move my mouth. It was horrible. Anybody ever have any sort of experience like that? Really? You all must have been as messed up as I was. And the same thing would happen. I would even start thinking the name of Jesus. There's power. Jesus, the Son of the living God. God is a person. And God has, he loved you. And he came, and Jesus is God in skin. You know how if you have a fishbowl? You have a fishbowl in your house? Who's got a fishbowl? Just pretend you have a fishbowl. Okay, if you're standing next to the fishbowl and you stick your arm in the fishbowl and the fish is swimming around, are you in the fishbowl? Well, yes and no, right? You're in heaven, you're outside the fishbowl, and yet you're in the fishbowl. So Jesus Christ, it literally says, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Jesus Christ was God in this world to us. Whoever believes will not perish. So that happened 7 or 8 times, but then I said, you know what, I better start reading this book. So I couldn't understand any of it, just like the dream said, just like the dream I'd had. I started reading and reading it, and I could not understand it. I could not understand it, but that never happened again. Didn't happen again. Hasn't happened since, and it won't, because I'm free, amen? So after a while, guess what? I understood it. Eventually went to Bible school. And after a while, I'm standing in front of you all, teaching it, just like the dream God had given me. And God, it's not me. If he did that for me, it's for your benefit. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Now, I wasn't killing people like Paul, but I was getting ready to maybe symbolically, spiritually kill people in the spirit with what I was doing. Our band had an album on London Records. So this wasn't some pipe dream. Our producer was the head of the New York chapter that gives away the Grammy Awards. So this wasn't some pie in the sky thing. I mean, I was going to do this. But Jesus loved me. He said, you know what? Before he goes over the cliff for good, let's give him one more chance. So, you know, we can't be with Jesus in the natural sense, so that he can't say to us, feel my hands and my feet. But this is what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, at that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. By infants, he means people with a childlike heart that still can have some wonder about things, that still can look at stuff and be in amazement of how beautiful our creation is, stuff like that. God gives wisdom to people like that. He says, all things have been given over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is, meaning no one knows fully who the Son is except the Father. No one knows who the Father is except the Son and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. So God, Jesus in his love revealed the Father God to me. And after a while, after you start talking to him, he talks back to your heart. And it becomes a two-way thing because he's a person. And he says, blessed are your eyes, which see the things that you see. For I say to you, many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and never heard them. So, you know, Jesus gives us the plan of the ages. I just told you what's supposedly going to happen with, you know, probably in our time. Why? Why am I saying? Because Israel, the Jewish people are going back to Israel, and God said, hey, when you see that happen, it's the fun, you're getting towards the end. And so he gives us the plan. You know, in college I used to say, like Pilate, what is truth? I mean, truth for you is your truth and your truth different. There's no such thing as truth. It's all relative. How can we know the truth? Jesus said, you know what Jesus said? He said, I am the truth, not me, speaking of himself. He said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so God doesn't want us to just sit in this is nice, huh, this room. We're all friends. You know, we have a moment of friendship. Hi, how you doing? Oh, good. How's Uncle Charlie? You know, whatever. Is that what he wants? Well, he wants that. But we're supposed to be trying to say, how can we serve our community? How can we reach out? How can we, we know God's plan for the ages, but God doesn't want to keep us here for ourselves. Next week, we're going to do something called Church Team Sunday. And if you think that this is your church, then you need to come. Because we're going to talk about the teams that we have and what we could do, what other stuff we could do. Because you're supposed to be doing something, right? We're supposed to be doing something to help people. I mean, I went to the one small group, and you're talking about helping people, indigent people, homeless people, whatever. We're talking about the juvie hall and all stuff. We need to get wisdom on all that. Juvie hall is in Adrian, I think, right? Whatever. We need to get wisdom on all that kind of stuff and do something. I mean, something. He doesn't want us to just sit here, does he? Have I lost anybody? See, that was an amen. From the baby. So now, if you're here, I do this every single week. I do this every week, you know that. But you know why? Well, first of all, you might be here, and maybe you never really made a decision to follow Jesus. Like the song says, right? I've decided to follow Jesus. Maybe you never really did that. And Sherry tells me that what? But within a few days, 50 people will watch this online. So, hopefully they'll watch the whole thing. So here it is. If you want to make the same decision that I made, the Bible says it's easy. It says, who as many as received him, which means welcomed him, gives he the right to become children of the living God. So here's what you do. Do it. This is what I did. I just said, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you that you died to take the punishment that I deserve. And you rose on the third day so I could live forever too with you in heaven. Thank you that it's your life for mine. You took the rap for me. Thank you. And now by your Spirit, come into my heart and live through me, and I'll do the best I can to live for you for the rest of my life. Just say that to him. Are you going to be perfect if you do that? Have I been perfect? Have I done things that I'm, even after I committed to Jesus, that I'm ashamed of? Sure. Have I sometimes said one thing and done something else? Have I acted, hypocritically? I have. I'm ashamed to say. But the Bible says that he loves us, and that the work that he begins in us, he finishes. And he makes us more and more like him. So, but I'm here with you guys because, it's no fun doing that by yourself. Is it? So come next Sunday. Let's put our heads together. Let's define some teams in the church. Let's do our best to reach out to the community. Let's try to bring some outsiders into this place and just love them and tell them Jesus loves them. And if somebody says, are you saying I'm going to hell? You say to them, that's up to God. I just need to love you. I know I would have been going to hell, that's for sure. But I can't speak for anybody else. I don't know about you, Jeremy. What do you think? Who knows, right? We want people to know that Jesus loves them, that God has a plan for their life, and that it's all good. I took that rock opera I was writing, and I threw it in the trash, and it was this thick. And I thought I was going to be this rock, person. But I wouldn't trade 1 minute of what happened after that. Then I got real depressed, gained all kinds of weight, worked in a factory third shift, was miserable. My friends wouldn't talk to me. Some of my family wouldn't talk to me. I don't want to overstate that, but you know what I'm saying. But there's no turning back, just like the song says, There's no turning back. And when I was laying in that bed and I had that moment when I realized, dear God, it's all real. It's all real. There's a devil and there's a God, and I was doing something really terrible. When I realized that and when I spoke the name of Jesus, when we sing that song, my chains are gone, I've been set free, I don't know what y'all are thinking when you sing that song. I know what I'm thinking. Amen. So that's the lesson. Let's just love Jesus and be who we're supposed to be. Even if we mess up, let's just keep trying, okay? Can I get an amen?